Jerry Jones has not done anything on contracts, yes, yeah, ironically.
We've done it. We've talked about it from every possible angle. Now we all just wait and see. CeeDee Lamb, same thing. Michael Parsons, same thing. What I think is the interesting development that's going on in Oxnard, California is, where are the people? No people. By all accounts, several different beat writers, there are no fans showing up to Oxnard this year. Not nearly the droves that they usually come in, Perloff, when we've seen the Cowboys on Hard Knocks several times, and just knowing that this is a big event because the sun never sets on Cowboy fans. They're coast to coast. So the training camp is always a big deal. They've always done it, or they've done it at Oxnard for a long time.
Right.
And the fact that you're looking at pictures of the bleachers and other areas, and it's a ghost town there.
Okay. First of all, it's not in Dallas, so it's not a local fan base, right?
But they've always drawn before. And
yeah,
that's
I know.
Never stopped
I don't know.
Anybody.
I just think that this is a weird anomaly. I think maybe it's harder to fly right now because the planes are too crowded. As Yogi Berra said, no one goes there. It's too crowded.
What?
I don't know. Like, I mean, Oxnard is out in the middle of nowhere, Southern California. I'm not sure what this indicates. I don't think it's. I still think they're America's team. I still think they're going to be the highest rated television team this year, just like they were last year, the year before that, every other year.
Okay. I do not think they're America's team anymore. And even if you want to say, oh, they're gasping and grasping at straws to still be America's team, because the thing that has to happen for you to be America's team is at some point you do have to win.
Based
this
on
is
what?
This is what helped the Cowboys in the 70s and the 90s. It was fathers and grandfathers watching in the 70s and watching the team win, then reinforced by the next generation who watched them win in the 90s. And now you've got the third generation of Cowboy fans who would keep this alive and be carrying this torch. And they're not winning. And not only are they not winning, they're not even getting close. It's not like they're going to the Super Bowl and losing or going to the NFC Championship game. It's either the first round or the second round. You can basically pencil it in at some point. I do think in this more fractured, like, society where you really can be fans of just a guy. Like, you're fans of the Eagles, obviously, and the 76ers.
Yeah. Fantasy football, betting, all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You love just dudes.
Nothing's changed, though. What's it? They haven't been to the NFC title game since 95. That was almost 30 years ago.
I know, and I think it's taking its toll.
What do you mean taking its toll? They were, like, far and away the most highest-rated television team last year. No one was even close.
Okay, so top 10 telecasts last year.
Right.
Just top 10 telecasts in the world in the United States.
Right, but these are, okay. But so are these postseason games?
These are basically postseason games.
Yeah, but so what? Of course everyone watched the playoffs if you have to go on regular season.
Regular season, they're there, but guess who's right behind them? Kansas City.
I don't think
he's got a major, major influx in the fan base.
They need a Taylor Swift, and I don't even think they actually aren't even second. The teams that play the Cowboys are all second during the regular season. They need a Taylor Swift to even challenge the Cowboys. I did see one stat of the top 100 telecasts of 2023. 18 were Cowboys games, 16 were Chiefs games, but on the regular, the Chiefs were the fifth highest rated team in the entire, because Fox just does bigger numbers.
Okay, but here's the thing. The Chiefs also were the top in the top rated telecast, because that's obviously the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They were in the second highest, which is the AFC Championship.
That doesn't count.
It does.
It's the playoffs.
No.
Everybody's tuning in for every playoff game.
Okay.
You could put the Chiefs on any team. I don't care if it was the Ravens. Everyone's watching the Super Bowl, Maggie.
Okay, but this is the thing. When you have another team that's consistently in these bigger games, and now you're consistently not in the biggest games, you can't tell me that does not have an impact
at
all.
It doesn't. I can prove it.
Here's
because the Cowboys have not been in the biggest game in 30 years, and they are still the highest rated. I have actual mathematical proof here. 1995, Super Bowl. 2023, highest rated team Dallas. You can't tell me there's a connection. You have this 28-year lag time. It doesn't make any sense.
I think that you have so many other, like, good teams to root for. And you also have good teams to love and love to hate. Now, that's another thing about the Cowboys. It's I think you're tuning in mostly because there's fans of them everywhere. But to be kind of like the far and away most watched team, people got to love you and they got to love to hate you, like the Yankees and Duke and all that stuff. I think you now have another entrant into that conversation because I think there's going to be backlash on the Chiefs because they've won so much, because of the Taylor stuff. So now you have another team in Kansas City that sort of has all the things that the Cowboys have, which is stars, star power, Bringing in the casual fan, all of that stuff, and they just keep winning and winning and winning and winning.
So. I think there's a different. I think you have the formula all wrong.
I do.
I don't think it's winning, and I have proof because the Cowboys are on a run of 3-12-5 years. But you have to remember when they were 8-8 every year, they were still the highest rated team. So they don't even have to win. They don't have to get to the Super Bowl, and they're still the highest rated team. I just think that certain teams, for whatever reason, just have trouble being totally national. Now, listen, the Chiefs pulled a fastball with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, they're global. No.
But there's something a little bit parochial about the Chiefs. There was definitely something parochial about the Patriots where they felt more like a local team. Like west of the Mississippi, I don't think there's a ton of, Julian Edelman's shirts. Sure. I just think that there's something about the Cowboys that have broken through nationally. Also, everybody talks about them. Okay, now that sounds like an annoying thing, but I do think when ESPN and Fox had this algorithm, hey, when I bring up a Dallas Cowboys headline or a LeBron James headline, everybody's tuning in. And that, I think, is a snowball effect. So the fact that everybody's talking about them means more people are talking about them. I just think they're in your face all the time, and that has an effect.
I also think that trends do change, and I do think that tastes change, trends change, and I think this is a small microcosm in how we got started on this conversation in the first place, is that training camp is basically a ghost town right now for the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys will tell you, hey, we have our second season tickets renewed at a faster rate. That's their word against nobody's. I have no idea about the Cowboys season tickets. I'm not calling them liars. I'm just saying I have no idea. That's, you have to take their word for it. What I don't have to take their word for is what I can see with my eyes, which is the place is empty. And we have anecdotal evidence because we've got amazing callers and listeners and people who reach out to the show. The apathy. And listen, is that something where will you really have the big Daves of the world? The guys, you know, when the season comes back around, will they be sucked back in? Listen, that's, if you want to get sucked back in, that's totally your right. This is sports. It's supposed to be fun. Right. It's supposed to be entertainment. But I either have to go with the Cowboys telling me how great their season tickets are, or I can go with my eyes and say, wow, it looks like nobody is showing up because I think there is a level of apathy now because they have not been winning.
I will bet you anything they are the three highest rated regular season games.
They also get a little bit of a benefit here, which is they get Thanksgiving.
Well, that's my cheat code. They're definitely getting number one. They always are number one with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Yeah, Commanders Cowboys. It was last year, and it was massive. Of course.
Of course, every year.
And they're going to get, are they on another holiday too?
Well, I think
last year they were on Christmas Eve.
I think they you take out the holidays, which are, by the way, the holiday ratings are insane. I was looking at the ratings. So now you know why the NFL is putting all these games on the holidays.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. I don't like it because I feel like holidays should just be for family, but it's fine. I get it. People have time off. That's fine.
Why would you want to spend time talking to your family when you can have football on television? That's insanity there.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't even think you believe that. You're telling me you want to sit and talk to Aunt Janice for another hour and a half?
This is just about for the transcript of the show.
To hear about, she had corn surgery on her foot, or you're going to go watch the Dolphins play the Bills. Give me a break. Yeah. So the thing is, the non-Thanksgiving, I think the Cowboys-Eagles game in Philly was the highest non-Thanksgiving game. Listen, the Chiefs have had some big whoppers, but they have Taylor Swift. That doesn't count. I think I need to see sustain. The dynasty of our era was the Patriots. You're telling me anybody, the Patriots games did not rate like the Cowboys games, partly because I think the Fox-CBS split.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, the Patriots
weren't getting Fox 4 o'clock Eastern time. And
they were big, but even the Patriots, first of all, it took them 20 years to win all those Super Bowls. Like, they're in and out and in and out, and I just don't think they were beloved like the Cowboys are.
Listen, I think that the biggest thing with the Patriots was when it was Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning, and those were incredibly high-rated games, and that's actually what is, I think, what it's more about now. Quarterback v. quarterback. Mm. I think runs and drives a lot of this. And the best quarterback far and away, going away, is Patrick Mahomes. And he's the star of this league. And then you have the Josh Allens and Lamars and stuff like that. You can fill in behind him. But it's Patrick Mahomes' world still. And Andy Reid together, people love them, and they're going to start to love to hate them too. And that's going to put them in the driver's seat for America's team. And then obviously the Taylor thing on top of it. She's going to be at every game this year.
I think the peak of Tom Brady is actually Deflategate. Like, I think that's the one time he really took everybody's attention. Like, I think you need some scandal. You need scandal. Honestly, I remember the most on Dan Patrick Show we ever talked about Tom Brady was Deflategate. The most calls we ever got about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Consistent success from a family man like Patrick Mahomes, that's great. And he's a wizard on the field. I'm not sure that's the formula. I think the Cowboys, by the way, the fact that the Cowboys are going to this limbo season with all these guys, How can anyone not tune into that? That's going to be incredible television. I don't know why they're not showing up in Oxnard. There's really no reason to show up in Oxnard. The players aren't showing up in Oxnard. Dak is there.
You think it's because CeeDee Lamb's not there?
I don't think so. There is, like, they've had the same team for a little while now, so there's some apathy. But if this gets dramatic towards the end, I think these ratings are going to be monstrous for the Cowboys this year. Now, I do think the Chiefs will challenge them, but only because Taylor Swift's there.
Let's hear from Jerry Jones, can we, Pete? Jerry Jones, this is from yesterday, saying he knows the fans are frustrated.
I think our fan base is frustrated. And I think they want to beat a Green Bay, and I think they want to beat the next one that comes up.
And Jerry goes on to say that the Cowboys have underachieved.
We're the second seed in the whole NFC. And we were as healthy as any club that has been in the playoffs in many years. Not just the Cowboys, any club. We were healthy. We should have gone further. And we had a quarterback that arguably was the most valuable player in the league last year. We should have gone further.
Yeah, and I do think there becomes a... I think Cowboy fans are just worn out. I think they're worn out by the losing. They're worn out by the unmet expectations. They're worn out by Jerry. Maybe they're worn out by us in the media. They're just worn out. And they're going to keep watching football because why take away something that we all love? But as far as the next generation of Cowboy fans, when I got all these other quarterbacks I can choose from and all these other teams I can choose from, am I just going with my dad's team or not the team in town, the other team, which a lot of Cowboys fans is kind of like, oh, I'm not going to root for, you know, I'm not going to root for the Lions. I'm going to root for the Cowboys. I'm not going to root for, you know, San Francisco. I'm going to root for the Cowboys. I just think there's other places to put your fandom, and it's the Chiefs.
I'd be shocked if the Chiefs long-term outrated the Cowboys. First of all, there's a special combination here. They have the entire state of Texas. I mean, yeah, I know Houston's good, but Dallas itself is a huge city, huge metro. Then they happen to be matched up by some magical combination with the Northeast, where all the people are. You know, it's like 70% of the country lives east of the Mississippi. I just think there's no way. I was looking at 2010 to 2019, the Cowboys did nothing on the field. Just absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Their dominance in the television market was overwhelming for that span. Like, nobody sniffed them then. I mean, they're still just as dominant. So I just don't think that, and none of that makes sense to me. Like, they never had to win before. Why would they have to win in 2024? And the fact that they're even above 500 is, like, incredible.
Because the other part, too, Pearl, is, like, we're asking if the Cowboys are still America's team.
Yeah.
Back then, even when you were talking about, what, 2008? Is that what
2010 to 2020. It was, back then.
Well, again... You still didn't have...
How about last year then?
Okay, but here's the thing. Everything's at our fingertips now in terms of you can watch whatever game you want to watch.
Right.
Yeah, there were, even still, if you're talking about 15 years ago, I don't think DirecTV and Red Zone and not just Red Zone, but, you know, watching out-of-market games has just become easier and easier. It has not become cheaper, I'll give you that.
Right.
But it has become easier and easier where you don't just have to watch whatever's on at Fox at 4 o'clock Eastern time. You do have so many choices of what's on your cable.
Right, but it's silly. They had a couple games that were all-timers last year. I mean, was last year so different?
But again, it's Thanksgiving. Like, well, yeah, no kidding.
I think they had the highest non-Thanksgiving game, too.
Well, it was Thanksgiving, and then they had Christmas Eve.
Had the highest non-holiday game. As far as the Eagles game was, I think, the highest non-holiday game. And I think they had the second and third highest non-holiday games. They're huge.
I don't think they're America's team anymore. Let's hear
from
you.
Wait, just out of curiosity. So America's team is the Chiefs just because they're so good?
I think they're good and there's a backlash. So, like, you love them, you love to hate them. I think that they have all the things that would make you America's team.
I'll get out of here. Backlash against the Chiefs? I do not. People are really getting in their feelings about the Kansas City Chiefs. They're in a division with the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos. They have no rival.
I think that there are people who love them. And I think there's people who are getting real sick of the Chiefs.
You think people are going to hate watch week 8 of the Chargers-Chiefs? That game, it's barely going to be watchable.
They're going to watch it. 855-212-4227. Are the Cowboys still America's team? You are welcome to weigh in on that. If you want to watch the show, hi, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray is where you can watch us on the Twitter. We've got so much to do today. Amazing show. What we saw yesterday afternoon, I think, is something that's going to stay with me for quite some time. We'll tell you what it is next.
All right, welcome back to me.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Maggie and Perloff, now you've made me upset, Maggie.
What?
This whole argument about is Dallas Cowboys still America's team. I'm putting out my own poll, and I only do that when I have really
when you want
really
your Eagles fans to come in.
Here's my poll question, and okay. Tell me if you think this is fair, because I've been accused of juicing the numbers. Big Show debate, will the Dallas Cowboys fall off their perch as the most watched team in the NFL next season? What say you, yes or no? And even if I lose this poll, then I can pull this poll up in January when it is proven that Dallas Cowboys are the most watched team. I think the Cowboys are more watchable next season than they've ever been. Who does not like a train wreck?
Okay, but here's the thing. That's not really the argument. We're talking about America's team, and you're only going to TV ratings.
That's the argument. If they are the most watched team, then they are America's team.
I don't think so. I think there are other things that go into this argument because—
Like what?
First of all, what are they counting the streaming numbers, right?
Yes, of course. No.
I just want to make sure.
The ratings are the ratings.
All votes are counted, number one. Two, I would love to know social media metrics about the younger set and the younger crowd. I would love to know about other ways. Who are the new fans that maybe are coming over to the Chiefs because of a certain pop star? America is much more than just the TV rating because, again, you could put you and I playing football on Thanksgiving and we'd get 30 million people. There's a lot of that, their ratings, a lot of the really big numbers are because they are getting really solid time slots when everyone's around their TV.
Well, yeah, but they're blowing away other teams in the same time slots. Just and you could put them other teams at 4 o'clock on Fox and Cowboys do 30% higher. So it's not just a time slot. You could put even the great games, like the Packers are high profile as you get. They're not doing Cowboys numbers at a 4 o'clock game on week 9 or whatever. It's just nobody's competing with them. And I disagree with you in the sense that if they are the most watched team, that makes them America's team. And I'm saying—
But you can goose that in different ways.
I say most watched. I'm not saying the highest TV ratings. I'm saying most watched. Are they? And I don't really believe that. I think the fact that if they get 50 million tune in on broadcast television I think that matters. I still think it matters. And obviously the networks agree because they're paying billions and billions of dollars for live sports.
But let's just reimagine that Dexter Henry is here and that the Steelers were branded America's team because they could have been, right? I mean, back in the 70s, the same time, Cowboys, Steelers, and the Steelers were on every Thanksgiving and they'd been doing it for 40 years and all of that. It would have been the Steelers.
I don't think so. I think it's pure geography. I think Dallas has these New York, Washington, Philly, CBS with Madden, Summerall. I do not think Pittsburgh was set up the same way.
Why? Pittsburgh's also in the Northeast.
They've always been CBS. So they're in a division. They've always had the Browns and the Cincinnati. I just think that the bigger cities have always been in on the Cowboys. I think that this is an amazing formula for the NFL, and they've been riding it forever. I'd be shocked. I'll just tell you right now that the Cowboys are going to have huge ratings this year. I don't care who's in Oxnard for the
training camp. Everyone's going to have huge ratings.
Nobody's going to have ratings like the Cowboys. They're just like maybe the Chiefs, if Taylor Swift goes to every game and isn't on tour, maybe the Chiefs challenge them this year. But I think that I don't care who's at training camp. If the Cowboys are a mess this year, which easily could happen, it's going to be captivating. I guess, do you agree with that at least?
What if they're a disaster?
If they're a disaster that you're going to want to watch them?
You know, it's interesting about that because I do think people will tune in for the disaster and the downfall. But if, you know, like the year that Dak Prescott got hurt and your pal Andy Dalton came in and they just sort of fell off, it wasn't interesting to keep watching that.
That was a bad year. Yeah, I don't know what happened. You're right. That was a very boring year, but that was all around the pandemic. What year was that, 2020 or 2019?
I thought it was before. It was 19, I believe.
Like, for example, Sunday, September 8th, 4:25, Cowboys at Cleveland. I mean, you're telling me you're not going to watch that game? Deshaun Watson against Dak Prescott?
You're looking at me. I watch every game.
I'm just saying, but you don't have to necessarily watch the Panthers-Falcons. I have to see what happens in that Cowboys-Browns game. It's different. It's not every game.
And now they got Tom Brady.
I mean, Dexter, you're a Steelers fan. You're telling me you're not curious what's going to happen in that Browns-Cowboys game for 425 week one?
I'm curious, but I do think Maggie brings up a really interesting point of how much of is this branding over the years, right? Like, it's been told America's team is America's team, America's team, that people buy it. Not saying that it's not, but I just wonder how much that is a factor into people viewing them that way. Right. And also wanting to see the demise or if it's a train wreck and all of that. But it's been kind of told to you that it's America's team.
Forget America's team. Are they the most watchable team? Are they the team that you have to watch? If you have to watch any out-of-market team, will you?
No. Okay. 49ers. Without a doubt, it's the 49ers. Man. An out-of-market team for us being on the East Coast, the 49ers are the must-watch.
Because you look at them as the most interesting, most talented team, right?
And the Chiefs. I mean, 49ers and Chiefs.
Because they were in the Super Bowl last year.
Well, and they are always, they have always, now they are the teams that are the factor.
For me, yeah, but a week seven Niners-Cardinals game, nobody here is watching that. It's on 425. You're exhausted after the 1 o'clock slate. It's like buried in red zone. They, you know, that is not rating.
I love that because maybe is that a trap game? You know, always to play in Arizona. Kyler Murray, is he healthy?
Just picture yourself in the fall. That game is like, oh, the Niners are up 26-12 on the Cardinals, and it's a 4 o'clock game. Okay, I'm going to go make a sandwich. That game is always tough to throw away.
That's right where Kyler Murray wants him. the
throwaway window is those NFC West. I mean, that who knows? Anyway, all right, I'm done with the Cowboys. I mean, they don't need my support. They are going to have 42 million people watching every game.
The question is, we'll put out on X for you at Maggie and Pearl. Are the Cowboys still America's team? Dexter is here with all the latest headlines. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. We're going to start off with some NFL news. Not talking about the Cowboys here, though. The Chicago Bears and wide receiver DJ Moore, they reached an agreement on a four-year, $110 million contract extension. That's the largest in franchise history. The deal includes $82.6 million guaranteed. That ranks third for a wide receiver on a single contract in NFL history, behind Justin Jefferson, $100 million, A.J. Brown, $84 million. All three players agreed to their deals this offseason. Moore, he's under contract with the Bears through the 2029 season. So, guys, I want to ask you this. In terms of NFL team building, where do you rank having a top-flight wide receiver? How important is that to you?
I'm a famous do-not-pay-wide-receivers guy. Just because, I mean, it's impossible to ignore the Chiefs just won two Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill. I don't care. You can pull any numbers you want. That is one of the most stunning team-building developments of the last 10 years. I never would have predicted that. Tyreek Hill was a menace, and boom, they just change and become a defense-first team and win the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different because they have the best quarterback in the league, and they have maybe the smartest offensive head coach in the league outside of Kyle Shanahan. So if anyone was going to be able to navigate through these waters, maybe the Chiefs were best set up to do it. I always wonder if the Patriots with Randy Moss, if they had just beaten the Giants and just finished the job, if we would think a lot differently about this. You know, it's like, well, of course, when you get the big wide receiver, it makes your quarterback even better, even Tom Brady.
But it is, it's through the years. I mean, number one receivers and Hall of Fame receivers famously don't win anything. T.O. never won. Randy Moss never won.
Good point.
Jerry Rice won, but that was different. So there is like a long history. Like, you could go through the Super Bowl winners. There's very few like legit number one receivers for what, mostly because of Patriots.
Yeah. Why was Jerry different?
Because he won everything. I mean, because they were on the Bill Walsh and Joe Montana just shocked the NFL with their offense. I mean, Jerry Rice, but that was 45 years ago. The last 25 years, name a number one receiver that has really done anything. Tyreek Hill, but generally it's not, you know, that's a well-documented stat. Like, there are not a lot of Hall of Fame receivers who win at the highest level.
Yeah, they do get to the Super Bowl, though. A lot of big-time receivers get to the Super Bowl, so yeah, that sometimes they don't win that game, but it's not like they don't help you. It's got to obviously be the right setup. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I think this is, again, this is an amazing situation that Caleb Williams is walking into. I mean, this is generally not your normal thing when you're the number one overall pick. And I think this just solidifies the fact that they think enough of DJ Moore, his commitment, football acumen, all that stuff, made the big trade for him to give him this kind of contract. We had not heard a word really about this. And now here it comes. It shows you what they think of him and just this core now between Williams, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze.
I see that sounds amazing on paper, but it's just, I don't think it ever works out that way. I think like the cheap Super Bowl, cheap wide receiver rooms are winning a lot of Super Bowl. Like I'm looking, the Rams obviously weren't paying anything for their receivers. They happen to have a Cooper Kupp breakout. Chiefs don't pay anything for their receivers. I don't think the Bucs, when they won the Super Bowl, Brady had a super expensive room.
What about
room.
The 49ers? I mean, their room keeps getting expensive. They definitely paid Debo, paid Kittle.
Well, in the year they first got there, I know they had Emmanuel Sanders at the end of his career, but I don't think that's a team that generally has paid receivers in the past, but they haven't won. The Eagles in 2017, they had Alshon Jeffrey, but that's not a Hall of Famer. There's not, just look at the list of Hall of Famers.
AJ Brown 2 years ago.
Yeah, but look at the list of Hall of Fame receivers. Do any of them have rings? Not a lot of them do.
Okay, but how many have NFC or AFC championship games? Like, how many at least got to the game, right? It's like, yeah, you might not have won it, but did you help your team get there? I mean... And Tyreek Hill did win.
This is such a Bills fan perspective. Like,
why?
You know that you only get a ring when you win the Super Bowl. Not getting to the Super Bowl is that's good.
But
you need to actually win the Super Bowl for the confetti to come down in your team color.
I'm just
getting to the Super Bowl. Who cares? Anybody could get to the Super Bowl. You got to win it, Meg.
Well, but I'm just saying, it's like you think that wide receivers don't help you at all. Like, there's no success. It doesn't matter at all. And I'm saying I think that's very different. Okay. Look at the teams who are consistently in the playoffs generally have number ones.
Yes, but let's look at the teams that consistently win the Super Bowl. What is the common thread? They have great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Take Nico Collins in Houston. He got paid this offseason, right? Why did he jump up so significantly last season?
Because CJ Stroud. Right.
So look at the numbers. I heard this number last year. Ja'Marr Chase, you know, he's holding out. When Joe Burrow is out of the game, his numbers dip by 200%.
Oh, look at Devontae Adams. I mean, we can play this
that's
game.
That's my thing. You need the quarterback. The quarterback is the common ingredient.
That's kind of
so
why.
So you put the money into the quarterback, right. And then you have the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, and then you rotate in receivers. The Chiefs, I think, have laid the correct blueprint out. So I would not overbet. I don't really understand what the Bears are doing paying all these
guys. That's why I asked the question, bro. The investment there.
I was a little surprised that DJ Moore got this money right
Everyone
now.
I
was like, you just drafted Rome Odunze.
Right.
Do you really need... you don't hate it because we all like DJ Moore. He's a good player. But it was like, wait, DJ Moore's getting the bag right now? It surprised me.
I mean, just because we haven't been talking about it like we have been with CeeDee Lamb and other people. But I think this is the smart move. You're going to have this core. I didn't even mention, the left tackle that they just drafted a couple years ago. Like, you are getting the band together here offensively. And while Caleb Williams is cheap, this is the time when you do invest. What else you got for us, Dex?
All right, got some NBA drama, guys, where George's Niang, he still feels some kind of way about Ben Simmons, and his disdain goes back to when Simmons refused to play for the Sixers and held out back in 2021. Now, Niang was on the road tripping show with Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson, and take a listen to this. He did not hold back.
The Ben Simmons thing that pissed me off because, guys are trying to make a living, right? And I came from Utah. Like, I signed, just a little over the minimum. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. I'm a spot up shooter. This guy drives the lane. Everybody collapses. He kicks out. Like, this is going to be great for my career. Yeah. I signed a 2-year deal. And then he was like, I'm not playing. And I'm like, what the?
So Niang, he's not happy, right? Because Simmons was messing in his eyes with his money. But then he further explained that Simmons wasn't really showing love to any players around the facility. Take a listen.
He was walking around the facility, you'd be like, what's up, man? Because they're like, welcome him back in, And he'd be like, and that's when I was like, this dude. Like, if I get an opportunity to play against this dude, I'm going to be like, there's etiquette and the game. Don't do dumb when you're out there. I was like, window.
He is still so mad about this right now. After leaving the Sixers and the Yankees, he still got the biggest contract of his career. So it all worked out for him financially. But I got to ask you both. Don't name any names. Have you ever had a coworker who was messing up the vibes or messing up the money for you where you were feeling some kind of way about what was going on? Maybe you didn't go off like Niang did, but you felt some kind of way. Has this ever occurred? It's occurred for me. I will say that.
Solid no comment for me.
No comment.
Oh, yeah, Maggie, yeah. I've never been high enough on the food chain that it mattered at all.
It's okay. His name rhymes with Mike Schmanschmessa. Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely had a coworker who came back and definitely messed with my money. But listen.
Dexter, that was a cruel question.
Thanks for bringing up old stuff. I feel like I should be the next guest on that road tripping pod.
You should.
Here's the one thing about this story. It was kind of interesting about airing this out. I think there was an idea that maybe... Ben Simmons, God, I mean, who knows what's going to happen to him moving forward. But that he was like really dealing with some mental issues. Mm-hmm. This makes me think the teammates obviously don't think that. They think this was just about him and him either being selfish or whatever. Because you were always wanted to give a little grace, like, man, is this guy like really going through it? Because then you don't really want to criticize him in the same way if you have all this mental stuff going on. Doesn't feel like the teammates think this was like him being like depressed or something, or him being really out of his mind. They just think he was being a terrible teammate.
Yeah, because the second part of the audio is what got me, right? If you're going up to a guy and kind of saying, hey, and he's not giving you the love back, right, like, would you, that he's trying to be in here with the team, and we get it. We know he's holding out. That's just, I could understand. I understand why George Niang was kind of like, you know, what he said. Yeah. I kind of understand that.
Well, I honestly, George Niang should have visited the Perloff household in that prime Ben Simmons year. The minivan, I love him. First of all, George Niang, amazing dude. He's the easiest Sixer to root for. I'm not a Sixer anymore. But Ben Simmons has always been bad. Ben Simmons used to can't shoot from the outside and would just dribble 40 feet from the basket for 18 out of 24 seconds again and again and again. His man was always on Embiid. Like, George should have watched some tape. Like that image of Ben Simmons as this facility, he was a ball killer. I mean, the movement around him stunk. He was terrible. He's the reason the process didn't work. Ben Simmons, I hated him way more when he was playing 40 minutes a game. I think the best thing that ever happened to Sixers was he stopped playing.
Wait, Dex, hold that thought 1 second, yes, because I do want to get back to this Cowboys thing. We're asking if they're still America's team, and Alex is on the phone from Hawaii. We were talking about how Cowboys camp in Oxnard, basically a ghost town right now. Alex, you have a thought on this. Good morning.
Right. About a week ago, I read an article, and by the way, I love how many guys start at midnight here. But I read an article about a week ago that and it had to do with the Raiders, and I'm wondering if it has the same effect on the Cowboys, is that the Chargers, and I don't know if you addressed on your show, because I live in Arizona, and you normally start at 3 a.m., but I don't know if you addressed on your show last week, but the Cowboys or the Rams and the Chargers are blocking the Raiders from having fans at their training camp. Wouldn't be surprised they're doing the same thing to the Cowboys, too. They're enforcing the territorial rights.
Interesting. Hold on. EJ's got a thought on this, joining us from the home studios. Good morning, EJ.
Hey, so yeah, no, I actually read this yesterday. So apparently the Cowboys, for some reason, are exempt by this rule. I know we talked about it, I think, either this week or last week, that, like, what the caller was saying was right, that the Raiders, who are doing their camp at Southern California, they can't have local fans or local media at their practices because of an NFL rule that a lot of people didn't know. The Cowboys are exempt from that rule, which is why they've always had fans at their training camp practices. This year, there are some fans there. It is just like 80% less than the normal packed bleachers that we normally see at Cowboys training camp in Oxnard, which is very weird.
Thank you for that, EJ. Alex, so yeah, it looks like the Cowboys are exempt. The fans just aren't showing up. They're showing how much they're frustrated by no showing.
Yep, okay. I didn't see that part of the article, but definitely I didn't realize that. All right, you guys have a good one, and I missed you guys in the afternoon, I will say.
Oh, Alex, thanks so much, and we're glad we can be on late night in Hawaii, Perloff. That's
Perloff.
Midnight Hawaii show. That sounds cool.
Now I'm obsessed with the Cowboys ratings here. By the way, they open up at Cleveland, but then they have a dud. Week two, New Orleans, 1 o'clock, their only 1 o'clock game. That'll be bad. Maybe the Cowboys ratings will fall until week four. Why do the Cowboys Giants, by the way, the Cowboys beat them by 40 points every game? That's going to get $35 million. Well, I'll tell you. Wait, we're in another debate, too. EJ is criticizing my wording on police. The question is not, are they America's team? That's a nebulous thing that means nothing. I'm asking, will they be the highest rated show on television? And that's a yes.
I think the question is, are they still America's team? Let's let Dexter finish up his update here. And by the way, you can call at 855-212-4227. You can also vote on the poll at Maggie and Pearl on X. Dex, what else do you have?
Last thing I got is about the Olympics. Exciting day five of the 2024 Olympics in Paris. Got a couple of notable events today. U.S. women's soccer team, they'll finish group play, against Australia. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern. USA men's basketball, they'll continue in the group stage against South Sudan, 3 p.m. Eastern tip. And Katie Ledecky, she's going to go for another gold medal in the 1,500-meter freestyle final, plus two swimmers are going to walk away with Olympic gold medals following the women's 100-meter freestyle and the men's 200-meter butterfly final. Swimming events, they start at 2:30 p.m. Eastern today. Excited to watch some more Olympics. Hope you guys have been enjoying.
Oh, we've been loving it. And in fact, got a big question off of what we saw yesterday. Absolute goosebumps moment if you were watching the women's gymnastics, and a big question off of Simone Biles and her making history. We'll get to all of that next. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Infinity Sportsnet. So yesterday, watching Simone Biles and the women's gymnastics team, Perloff, I've been really into these Olympics. I know you have been also. Just goosebumps. I mean, 3 years ago, Simone Biles had to withdraw from the games because she had the twisties, they say. It's like a version, like sort of a mental lapse where she felt unsafe competing in doing all these high, flying gymnastics routines. And now, what does she do? Leads the U.S. women's gymnastics team back to the top of the podium. I mean, full-on resilience, not to mention some of the things that have happened in her personal life where she got, was a victim of Larry Nassar, that awful, evil doctor who was abusing these young girls. I mean, everything about her story is about resilience to me. And that was a heck of a moment yesterday. One, I think I'll remember for a really long time because of how impactful it was.
Oh, yeah. I was telling you, I watched a Netflix documentary, Simone Biles.
Yeah.
Incredible. I'm a huge super fan. I have to admit, I missed last night. Let me ask you a question, though. Sure. Is it the individual thing, emotional moment? Like, is a team, what's her peak of Olympics? Because it hasn't happened yet, though, has it? I mean, last night, there was a lot going on. My Phillies were losing to the Yankees. I don't want to get into that. There was swimming. I feel like the individual, that is going to be the Simone Biles super moment. If she wins this again, if she kills it, and especially in the all-around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she still can add to more medals. So she's got eight now. She's got five golds. There could be more, and I feel like there will be more in her future when the individual events happen. So there's still time to watch her if you haven't been able to catch it yet. But I think there's something about these individual sports, and they are so individual. You're basically competing against these men and women your whole life, and then now you come together as a team. And I think they do get a lot from that. Some teams probably closer than others. It seemed like because you're competing in it as an individual for so long that they get really something out of becoming a team. And there had been some criticism of the team from inside the gymnastics world that they were getting lazy. I'm like, I don't know how you'd ever accuse these women of being lazy. But some within the gymnastics community had been critical, and they were dubbing this run the bleep around and find out run. So as they're sitting there with the gold medals around their necks last night, I guess everyone bleeped around and find out.
So tell me, like, what was the best moment? Was it Biles? Was she dominant? I did see I tuned in, I saw Jordan Childs fell off the beam, and that was a big problem, but they kind of did it easily.
And she redeemed herself on floor, great on vault. It was basically a very dramatic moment where the Americans were slightly out of the top three. Biles has to do her floor routine, and she just goes out and nails it. I mean, the degree of difficulty on her passes are so much higher than everyone else. She can afford to step out of bounds right here or, step out of bounds there. And the deductions from that pale in comparison to the amount of points she gets for these incredible things she's accomplishing. We're asking, is she the greatest Olympian of the modern era? I mean, you have to put Michael Phelps because of just the pure medal count. 28 medals for Phelps, who was in attendance yesterday to watch Biles. 23 gold, 3 silver, 2 bronze.
Don't get me started.
And I know you're not a huge fan of Olympic swimming.
No, I'm a huge fan of Olympic swimming. I just think that you can be a swimmer and win 8 golds for doing the same thing. Basically, like, there's just what Phelps did was incredible. He's unprecedented, but there's a lot of medals to get as a swimmer. Like, Simone
really rack them up.
Simone can't come away with 9 medals. That's just not going to happen. Well, actually, what's the number 8? It's
she has 8 now. She has 5.
No,
gold.
But I mean, Phelps could win 8 and 1. The total medal count is crazy. Like, how many? Usain Bolt is, I think, right there. I think the three of them to me are the most dominant. That's, in my opinion, that's a conversation of the last 25 years. Phelps, Biles, and Bolt. And in some ways, I'm always more impressed by Bolt.
Really?
I mean, just the fact that he ran the 100 and was waving to the crowd and setting a world record.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was
eating
something,
McDonald's and being able to win that. I'm how?
There was something breathtaking about, I would actually go, this is my order. I would go Bolt right behind him, Biles, because that her floor routines are, she can literally fly.
Oh, have you seen the balance beam? How does she do that?
And Phelps a close third. I just, for some reason, the first two seem more spectacular to me. Am I missing something with swimming?
You know, it's different. It's like your taste, because obviously the degree of difficulty on what Biles is executing is obviously the highest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Usain Bolt just runs 100 yards or 100 meters.
Yeah, there's no chance you're going to land on your head.
I could. And there's nothing better than that rare track video where the guy does slip and fall. Those are awesome.
He ends up taking out everyone around him. Those are awful. But
Or when they're doing the Edwin Moses thing, what's that called? Where they jump over the little, you know.
The hurdles?
Yeah, the hurdles, right. I can't believe I just blanked on hurdles. I tweeted out a video of like 5 years, the last Olympics. Some guy falling on the hurdles, and it went super viral because it's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. But what Biles does, especially in some of these, the jumps, I find them quite dangerous as well.
I'm
always worrying that the gymnasts are going to fall on their head. Phelps and Bolt, that's a totally different
thing. There's not a danger.
There's a straight-lineness about it.
Yeah, definitely. And then it's like, all right, what kind of, you know, the athleticism, it's just different, right? It's like Phelps, it's got to be, you know, especially for some of the longer distance swims, like what you can handle, what your body can handle.
But that's endurance. So it's just, that's the thing. We always argue about this. Like, endurance doesn't do anything for me. That's like, I'm not the best exerciser. Who cares? I feel like Usain Bolt had this God-given gift that makes him different, because there's a lot of guys with a lot of endurance. Anybody can run a marathon. I just think what Usain Bolt did is so spectacular. I think that's an unpopular take. I think most people would go Phelps, Biles, Bolt.
See, I think Biles is number one. I do.
Oh, you could go Biles. Yeah, I could see that. I'm not going to argue with you. She's unbelievable.
And maybe there's a part of this where you know how to swim. You know how to run. Nobody can do what she's
doing. Let me ask you another question, too. Does her story and the ups and downs add to her being number one? Or does it take away from her being number one?
I mean, I think it adds, but, you know, she was, you know, had to go into foster care because her mom was an addict. You just watched the documentary.
Unbelievable.
Mom was an addict. End up getting, like, going to live with family member in Texas.
Grandparents adopted her and her sister. You mentioned the Larry Nassar thing, but what about the twisties? Like, she came up short in the last Olympics, but for some reason, that's not a negative on her. The fact that she came back from that is a huge positive.
And I think that's what's adding to her story right now.
Yeah.
No doubt.
100%.
And that's the resilience. You know, listen, everyone has probably overcome a lot. Like, Michael Phelps had his own demons. He's very outspoken now about mental health and seeking therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, Usain Bolt, maybe a little bit more of a, you know, happy-go-lucky, at least outwardly. But I'm sure he's had his challenges as well.
I was just reading the recap of the story, and in the eighth paragraph, they mentioned that Biles had a therapy session that morning.
Yeah.
So I love that they're making mental therapy such an open topic, and credit Simone Biles for that. I think that's very impactful as well, in a good way.
I just thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
And she's incredible. I think she is the greatest Olympian of the modern era.
Let me ask you a question. If you could see at their peak any of the three live, which one would you want to?
Not even a question.
Yeah.
Got to be Biles.
See, for me, I think my buddy Dan Patrick was saying this. To see Bolt run the 100 live must have been like lightning.
Oh, do you remember that photo?
Yeah.
The SI photo with the lightning in London?
Oh, no, I don't remember.
It's the lightning in the background as he's crossing the finish line. The one thing, though, as a spectator, that's going to last 9 seconds.
I know, but that one moment.
Then what do you do? Then where are you going? You're just going to get a beer and a hot dog and just, like, you know. Simone, you get to watch on multiple apparatuses.
A lot of guys have been there a lot. 9 incredible seconds. And then what are you going to do? Take a nap.
Yeah, right.
I don't
just
know.
Go on your phone for a little bit and go to sleep.
Something about Usain Bolt was always just incredible to me. Just something that is so different than everybody else. Now, my question, too, is Biles so much better than everybody else? Maybe. Is she the Michael Jordan of gymnastics?
She is. I mean, the degree of difficulty of stuff she's doing is not like anyone else.
Yeah.
So
I could buy it. Listen, I hate to rank them like that because all three are incredible.
I just love how you're into the Olympics because you were reluctant a couple weeks ago. Now you're all in.
Nah, I don't know.
You're definitely watching USA South Sudan later today.
No way. I'm out on men's basketball. Honestly, the fact that they blew out Serbia in game one, I thought it was going to be dramatic. I thought all the games were going to be close. Aren't you a little disappointed? Don't you want to see some drama?
What if South Sudan hits 14 more threes?
They're going to kill South Sudan.
It could happen, guys. 855-212-4227. Question of the morning. Are the Cowboys still America's team? Get to that and more NFL training camp next.